seated.
This past Monday night, we had the privilege of attending, and I had the privilege of preaching at our senior banquet for the seniors from Lancaster Baptist Church. And I tell you, it's one of the great ministry moments on the calendar year at Lancaster Baptist. And those of you who haven't had a senior yet, as sad as it is to think of your child graduate from high school, I'm going to tell you, it's just an awesome night to see the fruit of the labor of moms and dads and teachers, and just to see what God does. This Sunday night, I'm going to show a few slides from the senior banquet, and Brother Schmidt and the staff, the youth staff, they just do such a great job for our teens. I think we had about 40 or so seniors, and then a lot of the other teens were there. And I saw some wonderful kids Monday night there at the Grand Ballroom at the Disneyland Hotel, and I heard some great testimonies from some of our seniors, and I mean some of them that even a year ago I just was so concerned about, praying for, and it seems like they're starting to turn a corner. And I'm going to tell you what, that does a pastor's heart good to see the growth and the repentance even within our own children's hearts, and to hear them stand up and proclaim testimonies for the Lord. It was just so encouraging, and how we thank the Lord for it. But you know, as I sat there and I saw the videos from the parents, and I'm telling you what, that's a tear-jerking experience by itself. And as I just sat there envisioning all that God had done in the last several years in the lives of these children, I really realized that the reason we were there rejoicing with these seniors was because of a lot of really good decisions made by a lot of parents who really have been seeking counsel, who have been reading the Word, and have been trying to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A lot of good decisions made bring you to those kinds of moments. Bad decisions will lead you another way. A lot of good decisions made by parents. A lot of good decisions made by those teenagers. A lot of help along the way by a wonderful youth pastor and staff, and a lot of tremendous involvement to get you to that point in your life. And tonight I just want to share with you really some Bible principles that will help us make decisions. I believe the pastor has the privilege of standing up and giving his biblical philosophy, and I believe a church family is wise to hear that. But I've really tried over the years to give you the tools with which to build a godly Christian life. I can't build that life for you. I can give you the tools, though, with which you can build the Christian life that God intends for you to have. And tonight, when you go open up the book of Proverbs, it's really like opening up a tool bag, and God gives you the tools for building a Christian home and for building the life that He intends for you. And there's three keys tonight that stand out in this passage, and I want to share them quickly with you. I believe the first key that we see in verse 18 is there must be in every family a decision towards discipline. Every family must say, our family will be a family where there is authority in place, and where our children will know that it will not be every man doing that which is in his right in his own eyes, but we're going to establish in their mind that there is authority in this family, not in the sense of some type of abuse or not in the sense of some type of harshness, but in the sense of letting the children know that God ordains authority. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight God has ordained authority, and He intends for our children to learn at an early age. And I believe many children who have had mixed understandings about God's loving plan for their life and the authorities in their life struggle with a relationship with God later in their life. A home that provides discipline is a home that is going to train someone who will rightly respond to the other authority in their life. And so notice, if you would, there is the command to correct. God says, parents, I want you to bring these children up. I want you to correct them. And it says, chasten thy son, verse 18, while there is hope. Now, this is a strong warning to parental passivity. And I have seen both extremes in our years. I have seen what I call the passive Pauls, and I have seen what I call the wild Wills, too. I've seen the ones who just, the kids are running around and screaming and dressing however they want and staying out as late as they want and knocking over the widows in the church, and parents just don't respond to that. They're very passive. Now, I've seen those that go to the opposite extreme. And, of course, in the Word of God, it says a false balance is an abomination. How many of you parents are always trying to have the right balance between discipline and love? And we recognize that. But God says that He does not want His parents taking a passive role with His children. By the way, I said His children. They're the heritage of the Lord. And God wants you to do a good job and me to do a good job. And so He says, I want you in verse 18 to when they do something that is against authority, I want them to be chastened. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And tonight we don't have time to get all into a lesson on corporal punishment. We know the world speaks against it. We know those in Sacramento are trying to pass legislation literally against spanking your child. And again, we see the state stepping into arenas that I do not believe God intends them to step into. The fact of the matter is that with a loving spirit and with proper application, not wild, missing and hitting a kid on the back or the head or whatever, and with the proper loving administration of discipline, and then prayer afterwards and teaching about the principle that was violated, we are simply obeying God's word to chasten our children while there is hope. And so the Bible commands us to do this. It says in the King James Bible tonight, chasten thy son while there is hope. In verse 26 says, he that wasteth his father and chasteth his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And so we want to be faithful to God's command. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. How many of you can say amen? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many of you have ever seen your children? How many of you remember when you were a child just doing some outright dumb things? I mean, I remember on one occasion when I was a young boy, maybe 5 or 6, and my folks had a bunch of folks over from the church. They had all the church tables there, and somehow, I don't have a real clear memory about it, somehow I found in the garage a can of red paint. And I thought it might be good if those tables were red instead of brown. And I just got out and started painting the tables and the sidewalk and just doing all kinds of foolish things. And I remember that as being one of my early spankings in life and having to learn the lesson that I cannot just paint whatever I want, whenever I want. And there's a lot of foolishness in the heart of a child. And God says, especially in the areas of direct disobedience, that it must be met with sternness. The command to correct. And then there must be, secondly, the consistency of correction. Sometimes we're real good at it for a while, then we just kind of let up or we're too tired. I know, Dad, sometimes we get so tired, and not just from work, sometimes from stress. And we can get so tired, and we know our children have done something that's worthy of maybe a spanking or maybe at least a firm talking to or maybe taking away some privileges. And we can almost get to the place where we're so tired that we don't want to deal with it like we should. And that's when we've got to still obey God, when we're tired and when we're rested. We've got to be instant in season and out of season. Verse 18 again, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The parent can't stop correcting just because the child cries and whines. Now, I don't know how your children are, but we had a few that were professional criers. They knew how to make the most unbelievable sounds of screeching and crying before they were ever hit. And before they ever received that SWAT, they knew how. And God must have known, obviously, how we might be psyched out of maybe doing what God told us to do. And God says, make sure that they learn the lesson. Be consistent. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I don't know if you want to read that one right before you spank a child or not, but that's a great verse. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I don't know how much more frank the Bible can get, really, for us. And so there must be consistency. Verse 26 describes why he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Here we see that someone that wasteth is someone that basically destroys the influence that the father is trying to have. And so you pray that a child responds and repents and has those times. And we're never trying to destroy their spirit. We're trying to break their will so that their will would be tender towards the authority that God has placed in their life. So there must be in every family a decision to discipline. And when that is let go, as it is in many cases in our society today, many other problems follow. Secondly, there must be a desire for direction. There must be a desire on the part of mom and dad to say, we're going to set a direction in the lives of our children. I tell you, you could see it Monday night. You could see it. And there's a lot of our seniors still looking for direction in different areas. But a lot of them have good direction in their life. And I'm not just talking about career paths. Many of them have that settled. Some are still looking. But I'm simply saying they know that they want to stay pure till they get married. And they know that they want to stay in church, whatever they do. And they know that they want to be God-honoring in their life. Now, these are basic things, but this is the direction that they're headed. And, of course, the devil's going to fight them every step of the way. We know that. That's why we pray for them. But there must be a desire for this direction. Now, there are two directions mentioned in this context. Notice, if you would, in verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Now, there are two directions I want you to see very quickly here. First of all, there is the one who rejects counsel, the rejection of counsel. And it's a sad day when a young person is scornful and they literally, verbally or with their body manners, can say, I don't care what you're saying. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Sometimes we've had to deal with that. Even in the youth group, Brother Schmidt will have a teenager that'll sit on the back row. They'll slouch. He'll say, let's stand. They won't stand. He'll say, the word of God says, and they'll say, oh, yeah. And the Bible describes that personality as a scorner. And they're wasting great help and counsel and preaching. And when that happens, they are rejecting counsel. And by the way, with those personality types and with those sinful behaviors, let me tell you what happens to their life. You can read it right there in verse number 19. A man of great wrath or anger shall suffer punishment. And if you deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You see, the fact of the matter is that a lot of times we try to get these folks and some extra help, or someone wants to get them paroled a little early or whatever the case might be. And what do? They do it again. A large number of the crimes committed in the Antelope Valley are committed by repeat offenders, committed even by those who are on parole. Why? Because the idea of the world is, you know, let's just give everybody some tolerance and some time here. And as Christians, we want to be forgiving. But on the other hand, when it comes to these scorners, when it comes to this attitude that is against authority, that is anti-authority, anti-establishment, if you will, God says you don't treat them with kid gloves. God is very clear in His Word. Those that have the rejection of counsel are going to be the repeat offenders because they have rejected it and rejected it and rejected it, and their heart becomes very, very hard because he has no desire for good, no self-control. And the Bible says this here in Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 28 as well. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. And I just repeat that we want to begin early with our children so they don't come to that place of just scorning and hating the things of God. And it can happen in a Christian home. If we think that just bringing them to church or putting them in the school without having times of reading the Word and praying and spending time and creating family memories, we must recognize as parents that even in a Christian home, we can raise scorners that just literally reject what God's Word says. And so we see that there's going to be two responses. One is going to be rejection. And the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. And so there will be the choice of rejecting. Notice, secondly, there will be the choice of receiving. And how we thank God for this, the receiving. My wife teaches the fourth grade girls class in our church. And And sometimes I envy that. Because fourth grade girls love you. They believe everything you say. They appreciate everything you do. They just have a receptive heart, you know. You don't have to try to break through the ice first. They just are there. They just want to hear and learn. I got such a blessing out of a couple of the little kids here tonight. And one little girl lost her shoe on the way up the step. Now, for us, that'd be the end of the show. You know, we would be so embarrassed, you know. And I lost my shoe. And she just picked it up, walked into her place and put it on, and stood up with a smile and sang. And no big deal, you know. Put the shoe back on and sing, you know. Some of us could learn from that. And that's what I mean, just that spirit of just doing the will of God. Notice in verse 20 what it says, hear counsel. Let's say that together. Hear counsel and receive instruction. So this second choice, and it is a decision, is to receive counsel. Now, I've seen a lot of people that for a period of time were receiving it and then just came to a place. The devil just gets these little things in their heart, and all of a sudden, whammo, they're not receiving it. Folks, don't let the devil do that in your heart. No matter what it takes to keep your heart an open conduit for the Word of God, keep it clear. Keep short accounts with God. Confess sin. There's something wrong with you and a brother. Just go to the brother and just lovingly get it settled. There's nothing big enough to keep you from having a clear reception of the teaching of the Word of God. And in our lives, we want to make sure of that. Those who receive good counsel are considering the end of their life. They want to finish strong. And it says that in verse 20, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You see, those that reject counsel, at the end of their life, you almost could put on their gravestone, fool. Because they went from one anger, to another situation, to another situation, to another situation. And that's what the Bible says there in verse number 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. But the man who receives counsel at the end of his life, he's going to be the benefactor of that biblical counsel that he's received. And so we have two choices on the shelf tonight. And of course, the choice that we want to make is the choice to receive the counsel that God would have for us. Isaiah 46:10 is such a great verse. It's there in your notes. It says, my counsel shall stand, and I will also do all my pleasure. That's why that song tonight was such a blessing to me that the teenagers sang. In the good times and the bad times, he's still God. And his counsel is always there. And it's always relevant. And it's always what we need. So there must be a decision to discipline. I will have authority in my home. There must be a desire for direction. We are going to receive counsel so that we can have a godly direction. Moms and dads, the summer is coming. Let me just encourage you. Have your children reading some good books and reading the Bible and not just playing games all summer long. Give them some projects that will be direction orientated. And make sure that you're faithful in God's house. This is a church member school. And let's be faithful members this summer. And take some time. And when you're on vacation, go to church when you're on vacation. Find a place where you can worship the Lord and just be faithful Christians. And make sure that you're setting that direction intentionally, parentally, setting a godly direction 365 days out of the year. Working at it and working at it. And then notice finally tonight, there must be a discernment for devotion. And by this I mean we have to decide, what are we going to love? What are we going to put our affection on? There must be some discernment. For example, most of you have been saved long enough to know that not everything that says church out front is worthy of your attention. I mean, there's Christian Scientist Church, which is neither Christian or science. Denying the deity of Christ, denying the second coming of Jesus Christ. We could go on just because it says church. And so you have a discerning love, Philippians speaks of in chapter 1. And this passage speaks of it too. And the wise person is going to choose, first of all, the wise path. Verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Verse 25, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now, the path, the wise path, is first of all a path to living. It tendeth, the Bible says in verse 23, to life. And when we choose the wisdom of God, it advances spiritual life. And it brings about a wisdom within us. And we need it now more than ever. We need the wisdom of God. And when we choose that wise path, then it tends to life. And it increases our spiritual life. And then there is the path of lodging. The Bible says there that this man shall be satisfied in verse number 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. That means in your place of life, perhaps you could even say in your residence of life, there's a satisfaction because this is a house that fears the Lord. I love the verse, and so do you. As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. And when you are, and I know in every home there comes friction and sometimes arguments, and the devil's fighting your marriages and he's fighting your family. But when you are spiritual in your home, when you dads are spirit-filled and when you moms are spirit-filled, and I mean there's not this animosity, there's not this bickering, when you are letting the Lord rule and reign and when you are fearing the Lord, and then you are choosing the wise path. You're not choosing the path to the courthouse and to alimony. You're choosing the path to joy. You're not choosing the path to having your kids on weekends. And many families here understand, I'm not putting them down, and I love you, and I wish those things would never happen. But I'm just simply saying, now that we're saved and seated here, many of you as married couples, don't let the devil get in there and ruin everything God's done. Don't let that happen. Choose the path of wisdom. And notice what it says again there in verse number 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And you know, the world says you just can't get any satisfaction. But you know, there's a great joy in just honoring the Lord and just choosing the path of life. But then there's the second path, very quickly as we close. There's the foolish path. And some people choose it. They have a bent towards it. And the Bible says in verse 24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Now let me just tell you two things about the foolish path very quickly. Number one, it is a path of laziness. It is a path of laziness. That's why I said have some projects for your kids. I've already given to our two at home some things I want them to read this summer and some things we're going to read together. And I know my years of having the smaller kids to influence is waning now, but I want to finish strong. And I think with our younger children, there's the potential that unless you set the course, they'll set their course. And it will be in bed till 11 and then Cheerios and then games and games and games and games. That's not going to change unless you say, no, we're not going to take the foolish path. We're going to take the wise path this summer. We're going to do some great things this summer. The foolish path is a path of laziness. It leads to lethargy. Verse 29 mentions the hiding of the hands. That means, you know, they don't want to do any work. My wife and I saw a guy the other day who was begging at an intersection. Had one of those little signs out, you know, please give me some money and so forth. And he had put his arm, taken his arm out of the sleeve of his shirt and put it underneath his shirt. It was very obvious that he had an arm under there. You could see it, you know. And he was trying to purport that maybe he'd lost his arm or something. And it reminds me of this passage, which simply says in verse 24, slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. You know, it's like, I'd work, but I can't, you know, and so forth. And by the way, don't be one of these excuse-making people. Have a mind to work. And a lot of times, there's physical ailments, but do what you can do. And you say, well, I'm on disability. All right, well, find some way to crochet something or knit something. Stay busy and do the best you can for the Lord. That's what I'm saying. That's all God asks of us, is to do our best and to be busy for Him. The path of laziness. And some people would do anything to be able to do nothing. Have you ever known somebody like that? They literally work at doing nothing. And they're good at it. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Eat. And I know some of you right now are working as hard as you can. In some industries, the industry has slowed down. And I'm praying for you. And I know you're working hard at getting work. You're not working hard to get out of work. You're doing everything you can to get work. And we ought to pray for one another in this time. And then there is, secondly, a path of scorning. This path that's the foolish path is a path of laziness. It's a path of scorning. Verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners. The scorners are the one who never have a good word. They always have a sarcastic word. They're always saying something against someone who does work. They're just scornful. They always have a reason why, and their attitude is never, ever right. And the Bible says what's going to happen to the scorner, judgment's prepared for the scorner. And that's where their life is heading. Psalm 50, 17. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest thy words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contestest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. In other words, their lifestyle tends toward that which is violating the word of God. And so sometimes the judgments that we experience may just be tremors. But we want to position ourselves not for the judgment of God, but for the blessing of God. Amen? And that doesn't mean a Christian never has trials, but what it's saying is the scorner has multiplied trials that many times we can bring on ourselves because our attitude towards the Lord was not right. And so here are three keys to help our family. First, there must be a decision towards discipline. This family will have an authority structure that we believe God has ordained. And then there must be a desire for direction. We're going to set a direction in this family that whatever we do, it's for the glory of God. And we're gonna work at that in all that we do, our schoolwork, our sports, our dress, our music. We want to have a direction that is distinct. And then, finally, we want to have a devotion for the right path. We're not going to go down this path of scornfulness. We're going to go down the path of obedience for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God's counsel is tonight from the book of Proverbs. And may we take it. And moms and dads, may we apply it, and young people, may you apply it as well. Single parents tonight, single adults, God's counsel stands forever, and may we hear it and obey it tonight. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight for the musical and for the message that you have shown us from your word. And I pray that you would help every family here tonight this summer. Lord, put a protective hedge about our families. Father, that each and every family would have the proper structure and discipline and direction and devotion going into the summer. Lord, we know that when we don't plan, really many times the devil takes advantage of that. And sometimes idleness is the devil's workshop. And so I pray for moms and dads, especially tonight, just to be thinking of how to take some practical steps with this message and set a direction for the summer. Bless our seniors in the high school and our youth group, Lord, and help them to fight the trends of the day. And may they take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take their stand. And bless moms and dads, Lord. Many of them have burdens tonight, and some are financial, perhaps marital. I do not know. But Lord, lift some burdens up tonight and help us one and all to live for you this summer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I'll not ask for a raising of hands tonight, but there may be some moms and dads, and the Lord has just put something on your heart. In a moment, I'd encourage you to take some time in prayer. There may be a teenager tonight, and your parents have been trying to give you direction, and you've been bucking it every step of the way. And your parents don't need to accommodate you tonight. You need to repent about that. You need to say to your mom or your dad, "Dad, I'm sorry. You've been trying to lovingly give me direction, And I've been bucking it. I've been the scorner, and I apologize." If God's speaking to the heart of a young person, I pray you'll respond tonight. Now tonight, before I close, I'd like to ask this simple question. Is there someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? If you died tonight, you're not sure that heaven would be your home? Because if that's your case tonight, we'd like to take a moment at the end of this service and just show you how to become a Christian. You say, "Boy, I see a difference with the teenagers, and I hear this Bible message. There's something here that I need." And if that's what the Holy Spirit's touching your heart about, we'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here tonight who'd say, "Pastor Chappell, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'd like to know more about that. Pray for me." Would you just lift your hand right now? Is there anybody like that? We'd like to pray for you if you're not sure you're a Christian. Our Father in heaven, I pray for every person here tonight that we would apply the principles of your word to our lives. Bless this invitation, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to come and pray and ask the Lord to help you apply this message, here's the altar. Moms and dads, boys and girls, teenagers, here's a time to say, Lord, I want to go down the path of righteousness. As we sing, you come.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Just with our heads bowed for a moment as others are praying, maybe take a moment right now and just ask the Lord to help you apply these verses to your own heart. Thank you, Lord, for this time tonight in your house. Bless every decision to your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just remain standing. They're checking on baptisms right now. I'd like to mention Sienna Beck. And Sienna's right here on the left. And her husband, Gilbert's right here. And he came to Bible college in September and came from Korea. And this is his wife who's now joined him.